Okay, this week is Parshas Vayera. Now, let me start with something very, very short, very short dvar, which I found made an impression on me. I remember I want to give a hakdama to this dvar, something I remember from many, many years ago when I was a child. About probably 100 years ago, when they started with the codes. Codes is where they use computers to skip letters. If you type in a person's name, and the computer will search for the pattern for that name. If you skip every 50 letters, it spells out a person's name. You take all the letters of the Torah, and you remove all the blank spaces, and you just have a block of letters, of a little bit more than 300,000 letters, and you type in a person's name, so the computer will search where we can find this a pattern to this person's name. After you find the pattern, then you can rearrange the letters, and you can look in that block of letters for other patterns, and you can discover different things. Okay, it's very controversial. A lot of mathematicians, some mathematicians are very against it, some are for it. That's not the point I want to make. But I remember, when this came out, what are you going to look for? What's the most important thing to look for? For the word Mashiach. Where in the Torah do you find the pattern for Mashiach? And also what's very significant is where you find the pattern the very first time. That is probably the most significant thing of where you'll find the pattern. So the word HaMashiach appears in this week's parasha, the last pasuk of parashas of the first aliyah of parashas Vayera, and it's an incredible pasuk. I mean, you can't say that there's nothing to the codes. You can't get carried away with the codes, but there's definitely something to it. The pasuk reads, "Hayipole mi Hashem davar." Is there anything that Hashem can't do? La moyed. In the right time, in the set time, Oshuv Elecha, I will return to you. Ko'etz Chaya, at a time of life, just like today, Rashi says, today is a time of life, you're alive and well, Baruch Hashem, everyone is healthy and good. So too, a year later, I will return to you exactly at this time. It says in Rashi that the Malach etched a mark on the wall. They used sundials in those times. And when the sun's rays will return to this location next year, exactly on Pesach, Ulisarabain, and so will give birth to a child. And this pasuk represents the impossible. And today, people will tell you, Mashiach's going to come. The world is so complex. There are so many problems. There's so much fighting. There's so much. There are so many issues. How could Mashiach come? Will it ever come? Hayipole mi Hashem davar. Is there anything Hashem can do? La moyet oshuv elech. I will return to you. If you skip from the letter hey, five letters. Okay, so if this is in pasuk yudches, pasuk yudalid, hey. So we'll skip five. Hey, yud pei lamid aleph mem. So you go from hey to mem. That's five letters. Hamo. Skip another five letters. The hey from Hashem's name, Hamo Shi. Wait, I'm prepared this. One, two, three, four, five. Wait, which hey is it from? One, two, three, four, five, six. One, two, three, four, five.
Lamo eight.
Ham one, two, three, four, five. He skipped from the mem and moed. There's like the hey in Hashem's name. The hey in Hashem's name. I don't remember the exact skipping technique. I should have looked this over before I came. It's in the pasuk Hayipole me Hashem davar la moed ashuv elecha Yisrael sarbein. If you skip here the letters Hamoshiach, you get Hamoshiach, Hamoshi. Right. Let's go backwards. The Ches and Chaya. Okay. The Ches and Chaya. Go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to the Yud and Elecha. Okay. You have Chaya. Hayipole mi Hashem davar la moed ashuv elecha Yisrael chaya. Let's go backwards. So chaya is the ches. Go back five letters. Tav, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You come to the yud. Go back another five letters. 1, 2, 3, 4. You get the shin. she, ach, and go back another five letters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, mem, and go back another five letters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you get the hey, so it works. So you skip five letters, every five letters from the end of Hashem's name, yud kei vav kei, you skip every five letters, you get ha-ma-shi-ach. This is the first place in the Torah you have the word ha-ma-shi-ach in a pattern. If you go search the block of Torah, and you can't say it's a very significant thing. You go and you search every two letters. Nowhere are you going to find HaMashiach every two letters. Search in the entire Torah. Search every, skip every three letters. Every possible skipping of three letters. You're not going to find it. Skip every possible combination, every possible, start from every single place in Torah and skip every four letters. You're not going to find it. But if you skip every five letters, and you try every possible variation, the first time you'll find a Hechatimsu where you'll skip every five letters, and you'll find the word HaMashiach, it's in this Pasuk. And what better Pasuk is there in the entire Torah that can define Mashiach? Hayipoli me'ashem davar. La'moida shuvei lecha, at the right time I will return to you, ka'ez chaya, here in this Pasuk you find the pattern for HaMashiach. Okay, so not everyone is so happy with this, not everyone is so excited. I know someone that was very upset. What? I'm not sure, I do not know, but it's the first, that I do know. It is the first. Being that it's the first, that is extremely significant. Now, why am I telling this to you? I would not ordinarily tell this to you. Because the truth is, in this week's parasha, we have this prediction, there will be a child twice. We have this pasuk, La'moyed oshuv elecha ko'es chayo l'sara bein. And in the few psukim before, the malach says in pasuk yud, Vayoymru elav, the malachim say to Avram, Ayes sara ishtach, where is your wife? So he says, Vayomer hineva ohel. Vayomer, the Malach says, guess what? I got good news to tell you. Yeah. Good news. How often do you hear good news? Shoiv ashuv. The double word expression, I will surely return, I guarantee I will return, elecha to you, ko'es chaya. At this time next year, vihinevein lissara ishtecha. Sarah was listening behind the door and she didn't believe it. She started to laugh. Okay. And then later on, Hashem says to Avram, the Aliyah, why is she laughing? She's saying, can I really give birth? I'm telling you it's going to happen. So twice in this Aliyah, in the first Aliyah of this parasha, we have this promise. The first time given by the Malach, the second time given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, that I indeed will return, I will come back a year from now, and Sarah will have a child. And I mentioned to you, there's a remez, that in this pasuk we have the first time there's a pattern for Mashiach. I saw in a sefer, I do not remember the name of the sefer, some Hasidic Sefer, I don't know what it is, and he says that these two psukim, it's not referring at all to this pattern, this code, but these two psukim refer to the two possible times when Mashiach can come. We know that Chazal tell us the Ita Achishana, the pasuk was in Yeshaya, in Yirmiyah, I think Yeshaya, the Ita Achishana, that if we merit, Mashiach will come. Achishena, Hashem will hasten the Geula, will come before its time. If we do not merit, Mashiach will come in its predetermined time, the Ita, in its exact moment in time. These two psukim capture the two possible times when Mashiach can come. The first pasuk, Hashem says, Shoiv oshuv elecha ko'es chaya, a double expression. I will certainly return to you, but it can be broken up into two parts, and it can be said, it can be interpreted to mean, Shoiv. If you, Klal Yisrael, do tshuva, if you return, ashuv elech, I will come to you. Ko'es chaya at a time of life. In other words, the time of achishena. The second pasuk, it only says the word once. It doesn't say the word shuv. All it says is ashuv. La'moed. La'moed means in the predetermined time, the destined time, the end of days. Be'ita. The end of days. La'moed. At that exact moment in time, ashuv elecha. I will return to you. Mashiach will come. Ko'es chaya. There will be Mashiach. But it's going to be la'moed. At that set moment in time, and then Hashem says, I will take the initiative, I will bring Mashiach, even though you're not worthy. But go back to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk does not say the word la'moed. All it says is Shoiv Oshuv Eilecha, which can be a double expression, which can be interpreted to mean if Shov, if you, Klal Yisrael, will take the first step and do Tshuva, Oshuv Eilecha, I will reciprocate and bring the Geula. And it doesn't say the word Lamoed in this first pasuk. And this first pasuk, it just says, I will come, there will be Mashiach. It does not have to be at the end of days, in the year, whatever, 6,000, all these midrashim. It can happen today. Hayoim in Bukaloi Tishmo. It can come today. So it's a fascinating idea. In this one aliyah, to summarize, in this one aliyah, twice we have the same prediction. First time by the Malach, the second time by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first time it does not say the word Lamoed, and the second time it does say the word Lamoed. The first time it says the word Shoiv Oshuv twice. The second time it says Oshuv Eilech, I will return to you. This pasuk also we know is the first time we have the code for Mashiach. So we're dealing with Mashiach here. And there are two types of Mashiach. There's Beita Achishena. And you see it's Merumis here, the coming of Mashiach. If we merit, Achishena, only if we are shoiv, then oshuv elecha ko'es chaya. But if we don't marry to do tshuva, then lamoed, Mashiach will come no matter what. Laman shmi Hashem says, for my own sake, I'll bring Mashiach at the end of days, will be lamoed, oshuv elecha ko'es chaya. Okay, let's go to another idea. I do not know the name of the sefer. I don't know if it's in the sefer. I'm sorry. I just saw this in the sefer, which I cannot recall from where I saw it from. But I just want to point out that there's something too because of the code of Mahamoshiach here. Every five letters from the second hey of Hashem's name in that pasuk. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here Rashi that tells us that whatever Avraham did, Ma'isa Avay Simla Banim, Yukach No Me'atmayim, the Malachim appeared before Avraham Avinu, and Avraham says he wants to train his servant Pasuk Dalit, Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Dalit. Avraham here has a servant Eliezer, and or Yishmael. I'm not sure if they'll hear Eliezer or Yishmael. He wants to train them in mitzvahs. He wants to teach them how to be machnes orach, how to greet a guest. So he says, Yukach no me'atmaim. Yukach is passive. Yukach, it shall be taken on your behalf. May it be taken on your behalf a small amount, ma'atmaim, a small amount of water. Why didn't Avraham himself go and retrieve the water? So the Rashi tells us the reason why he did not do so was he wanted to train his son Yishmael that he should do mitzvos. Yukach Rashi, al yedei shaliach, through an agent. And Rashi is not happy with this. Why? The best way to train your children to do mitzvos is you do the mitzvah. When you give tzedakah, it's not a good idea to give the child, you go to shul and you give the child, here's a quarter, you put the quarter in the pushka. That's not all the Bali Musa, they tell us that's not the way to teach a child to give tzedakah. Because if you'll teach the child, you'll give your child a quarter and he'll put the quarter in the pushka. So when he'll grow up, he'll give his child a pushka, and he'll give his child a quarter to put the quarter in the pushka. The way you teach your child to give tzedakah is you give the tzedakah and let the child watch. And when he'll see you put the quarter in the pushka, he'll be impressed. And he will also emulate that when he gets older, he'll give not a quarter, he'll give $250,000 to his favorite charity. Otherwise, if you give him a quarter, so he won't give a penny to charity, and he'll give his son a quarter to put in the local pushka. You have to teach by example. And if a chazal to a certain degree are critical of Avraham Avinu, why did he train Yishmael by telling Yishmael, you get the water? Avraham himself should have retrieved the water, and Yishmael would have observed. Had Avraham Avinu done that, then his children, Mida Kenegemida, the water would have been provided for them directly. Hashem would cause a spring to sprout in front of the Pesach of every single person in the Midbar, and they would have water. But because Avraham did this through a shliach, Klal Yisrael, how did they receive water? Through a shliach. Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Moshe was the shliach for Klal Yisrael. Moshe hit the rock. Vayetzu pasuk in Bamidbar Perek. I think Perigud Pasuk Chaf, if I'm not mistaken. Perigud Pasuk Chaf, Vayetzu Mayim Rabim. Moshe hit the rock, and Mayim Rabim, and that was obviously very tragic. We see over here the seeds of what caused Moshe Rabbeinu not to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Because here Avraham only retrieved the water through a shliach. His descendants received water al yidei shliach through Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake in retrieving the water instead of speaking to the rock. He hit the rock, and that caused them to go. That caused Moshe Rabbeinu to die before he went into Eretz Yisrael. Had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into with Klai Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, it would have been a whole different history. Jewish history would have been completely different. But that's not our discussion here. Al yidei shliach vaKadosh Baruch Hu shilim lebonav al yidei shliach shnei avayor Moshe es yodai vayach es hasela vayetsu mayim rabim. A lot of water came out of the rock. Now the Medrash goes further. The Medrash does not. The Rashi is very makatsa. The Medrash says, "What about the bread?" When it came to the bread, Pasuk Hay says, "The ekcha." Avraham Avinu says, "I myself will take paslachem, will take for all of for my guests bread, and v'sadu libchem, have a good meal. And after you have a good meal, I'm not going to hold you back. Achar tavor, you can go on your way. Ki alkeim avart mal avdechem." Avraham himself prepared the bread. And how much bread did Avraham prepare? A lot of bread. It says he took over here shloishim kemach seles, which comes out, I heard someone give a shayis, it comes to about 50 pounds. 50 pounds of bread. That's a lot of bread. A lot. Mayim, yukachnom me'at mayim. Let my son Yishmol just get a little bit of water. Shliach. I'm going to get the bread. How much bread? Ve'ekcha paslechem, 50 pounds of bread. The Medrash goes on, because Avraham himself brought the bread, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded his children mida k'neged mida. Every single person had the mon delivered to his front door by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. They did not have to come on to Moshe Rabbeinu to hit a shliach, to hit the rock, to provide the water. The water, the bread, every single day there was a delivery, home delivery. The bread was by your front door. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself sent the bread. Direct. Mida k'neged mida. Okay, so what do we have here in total? Mayim was al yidei shliach. Mida k'neged mida. Klal Yisrael only got the water through a shliach. The bread was done directly by Avraham Avinu. Mida k'neged mida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself provided the bread to Klal Yisrael directly. Okay, question. How much water did Avraham Avinu provide? Ma'at. Yukach na'mat. How much water did the Bnei Yisrael, did his children receive? Vayetsu mayim rabim. In abundance. A lot of water. Bread. How much bread did Avraham Avinu provide? 50 pounds. An enormous amount of bread. How much bread did each member of Klal Yisrael receive? Exactly. Oimer lagul goyles. Not a drop more, not a drop less. Not enough for tomorrow. Every single day you had to go get more bread. It was torture. Vayancha, vayarivecha. It was inui. Every single day you had to worry, tomorrow will there be bread? It was ma'at. The reward that his children received was not an abundance of bread, was betzimtzum mamish, just enough bread to exist for today. Tomorrow you have to worry all over again. And Shabbos, lechem mishnah, and you can't leave over. If you leave over, it's going to spoil. So the question is, shouldn't it be just the opposite? Since the whole theme is mida k'neged mida, Avraham only said me'at mayim, so it should be mida k'neged mida that his children should receive vayetsu me'at mayim vayaches asela al yidei shliach vayetsu me'at mayim bread. There should be enough bread to survive for 40 years. There should be an abundance of bread. Why should Klal Yisrael have to worry every single day if there'll be bread tomorrow, what to eat tomorrow, what's going on? Teretz is very, very simple, and there's a powerful mussar in the answer. The answer is, what spiritual gain did Klal Yisrael get from the Mayim? Nothing, very little. In fact, they lost their leader. Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. He should have spoke to the rock. He hit the rock. Vayetsu mayim rabim. Oh, we have no daigus. We have no daigus. Complacency. Ribbono shel Olam, we don't need you. We can go on with our daily lives. We're safe and secure. We're happy and have a nice day. Vayancha vayarivecha. Klal Yisrael worried every single day what's going to be tomorrow. And in the process of doing so, Chazal tell us, they shteigt. They became tzaddikim. Chazal tell us that tzaddikim, the bread would appear on the front doorstep. Beinonim had to go for a little spatzir. The Rishayim had to go walk miles to go find, go out into the forest to go find a piece of bread, to go find someone. Every single person was embarrassed. My neighbor, he gets the bread to his front door, and I have to go for a walk. I have done averos. I'm not holding where I should be holding. A person had to work on himself. He had to perfect himself spiritually. Because the man was inui, it required Klal Yisrael to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though to the simple interpretation, the amount of bread was a small amount of bread, it was small in physical quantity. But as far as spiritual quality, it was enormous. The amount of spiritual quality in the man was enormous. So indeed, it was mida keneged mida. When it came to the water, al yidei shliach, I don't care about the water, mida keneged mida. So how much ruchnius did Avraham's descendants gain from the mayim? Very small amount. But when it came to the man, Avram directly, he retrieved the bread himself. How much ruchnius did his children gain from the man? An enormous amount, because every single day they had to grow and develop a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in order they should be deserving to receive the man. Okay, that's the second thing. Let's go to a third idea. Okay, third idea. Okay, now this is a short idea. Another short idea. We have on Yom Kippur, the Gemara in Masechta Yoma tells us that when the Kohen Gadol, when he would come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would be mispalel in between the curtains, atzfila kitzara. So you would think, what is the Kohen Gadol being mispalel? Some lofty thoughts, being mispalel that everyone in Klal Yisrael should finish Shas, and everyone should be a Bucky in the Zohar, and all the Yoni. He was mispalel that Ribbono Shel Olam, there are people out there that travel, are going to go home, they're going to be on the road, and they're going to be stranded, and it's going to begin to rain, and they're going to be mispalel. Ribbono Shel Olam, don't let it rain, I'm getting wet. I don't want it, if it's going to rain, there'll be mud. Ribbono Shel Olam, don't let it rain now. But Klal Yisrael, millions of people need that rain. Millions of people are living in their homes, and they have fields, they have crops, and they're dependent on the rains. And these few stragglers who are on the road, and have a flat tire, and they're out stuck on the road, they're going to pray, Ribbono Shel Olam, don't let it rain now because I don't want to get wet. Hashem, don't listen to those tefillos. Don't listen, because it's not fair. It's not fair to favor those individuals over for the entire Klal Yisrael. That is what the Kohen Gadol was mispalel for when he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now the question is, why would Hashem listen to those tefillos? He's dealing here with a Klal Yisrael. Millions of people. They're saying every day, Mashiv Horuach Morid Hageshem. They're saying Talum Matu Levracha. They're praying with all their heart and soul for rain. Everyone's davening Ma'ariv and Shacharis and Mincha. They're praying and praying and praying. Millions of people. They have one guy who's stranded. He's getting wet. It's a little mud. He's a little uncomfortable. Ribbono Shel Olam, not now. You let it rain now on me? I'm stuck here with a flat tire. I have my kids screaming in the car. No, not now. Why would Hashem listen to the tefillah of that one person against millions of people? So the Baalei Mussar say an incredible chiddush. Because that one guy, he really means it. He really means it. Because he's in pain. He's suffering. He's on the road. He's stranded. He's getting wet. He really, it's nogeh halach lemaisa for him. It's a sincere, heartfelt prayer. The millions of people who are davening in shul, air conditioner, it's comfortable, there's a kiddush after davening, there's a tikkun after davening. They're really davening. Are they really being mispalel with the full heart and soul? Mashiv aruch amorit hageshem. Saying talamot levracha. One person's heartfelt prayer can overweigh millions of people's prayer that's not done with the same degree of sincerity. This concept is brought out in this week's parasha. Where do we see this? The first half of the parasha, now a good chunk of the parasha, Aharon Avinu is mispalel for the Anshei Sidon. an elaborate Rebbein Sham Ha'af Tispet Tzadik in Russia. You're going to wipe out five cities. Stoma, Amora, all these neighboring cities. Avram is praying and praying and praying, and Hashem says, okay, fine, I won't do it. If they are tzaddikim, they know tzaddikim, go down from five cities to four cities to three cities to two cities. One city, maybe you'll find 10 people, a minion. If I'll find a minion, I'll save them. Nothing, zero. They are no tzaddikim. Avram gives up. They know tzaddikim. No, I've done one. I'm spalo a whole aliyah, two aliyahs, going on with this prayer, and that's it. Vayelech Hashem, vayomer al no yichar la Hashem va'adabra chapam ulay imotzu nshom asara v'yomloy ashches b'avu asara. But there wasn't 10 to be found. Vayelech Hashem kasher kidul daber el Avraham v'Avraham shav l'mekoyma. He goes home. It's over. Okay. Now we go to Lot. The Malachim come to save Lot. They destroy Lot. And they tell Lot, you go to Avraham. Lot says, no, I'm not going to Avraham. I go to Avraham. Me, Kneged Avraham, I'm a Russia. I'll be wiped out in a minute. I can't go. So the Malach said, where are you going to go then? Well, you know, there's a city, one of the cities here of stone, one of the five cities. You know, it's Mitzar, it's only a year, it was established a year later. You know what, why don't you save a whole city for me? Save one of the five cities for me, because I don't want to go to Avram. If I go to Avram, Hashem will look at Avram and Lot, they'll say, oh my gosh, look at the difference between the two. Lot has to be destroyed as well. So let me go to this city. It's a small city. But what do you mean? Avraham Avinu already was mispalel to save that city. And Hashem said, no, there are no tzaddikim in that city. There are no tzaddikim in that city. We're going to destroy it. Who knows? There could have been millions of people in that city. Who knows what was there? We don't know what was there. It's going to be destroyed. And now Lot is making the same request. And there's no elaborate prayer. Vayamoid Avraham el elaborate prayer, whole aliyah, just derech agaf. Imoltano. No means please. Please let me escape there. Shama. Haloi mitzar. He wants the big deal. It's a little city. It's a small. Mitzah means it's recently established. Usechi nafshi. Vayamay love. You know what? Hine nasasi fonech agamu davar hazeh. Good, you could have it. We'll save the whole city, a million people. What? Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Perik Yutes Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Hine nosasi chapanech gam lav azel levilti hafchi hapchi esui hazos asher dibarta. Mahi molit shama go gazun to hate. Can you imagine? Avraham is mispalel the whole day, the whole night. Long, elaborate prayer. Can you imagine what's going on over there? Wrapped up in a talis, wearing a tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, tefillin Shimu Sharaba, being mispalel. No, Avraham, you're not getting what you... Who me, God alone, me Avraham Avinu, Baruch Atah Hashem, again Avraham, the Amud HaTfilah, Amud HaChesed. Garnished. Sorry, buddy. No. Lot, who's no tzaddikol. We know Lot's not tzaddikol. What's he doing in Stone to begin with? Yeah. And he's in fact, he's the mayor of Stone. What are you doing there? One word. No, please save the city. I have to go somewhere. And the answer is, you got it. It's yours. Why did Hashem answer Lot and not Avram? Because for Lot... It's Nogei Halacha L'maisa. Lot, he means it. Now, Avraham also meant it. We're not drawing. But Ein Doime, the tefillah of the person that it's Nogei, the one that's in pain, the one that's in crisis, the one that's suffering, Ein Doime, the way he feels to a person who is speaking about this from a theoretical, from a theoretical standpoint of what's good, what's not good. When you feel the pain, it's a whole different tefillah. And therefore, Memela Hashem answered Lot. Lot was able to accomplish this tefillah what Avraham Avinu could not accomplish with this tefillah. It's an incredible insight into the koyach tefillah. When you're in pain, the choyle himself can be poyel much more than even the biggest gedolei Yisrael can be poyel in your behalf, because you actually feel the pain. Okay, now onto one more vart. And this vart is... The bulk of the Vart is from Rabbi Wolfson, not in this week's parasha, from next week's parasha, but I want to bring out a point. I want to bring out an idea. Now let me begin with what Rabbi Wolfson says, and then I'll just tie in this one little point that I want to bring into this week's parasha. Let's go to the Yoitzrois of Parasha Shkolim. Right, who would imagine Parshas Vayera? I'm taking you ready to February, March, and telling you about Parshas Shkolim. In the Yoitzrois, we say, for those who say Yoitzrois, Dodi, my beloved one, Hashem, Zechorli, remember for me. They have to bear with me. Okay, bear with me. I'm going to tell you something which appears to be completely not related to this week's Parsha, but you're going to see very clearly that it has everything to do with this week's Parsha. So just bear with me for a few moments. We say in the Yoitzrois, Riboyne Shloil, it's Parsha Shkolim. We're giving machsa shekel to the Beis HaMikdash to buy korbanos. So we talk about shkolim. So he mentions here two times in Tanakh when money, hard earned money, was paid to purchase land. Zechor li shiklei Ephroin. Remember the coins that were paid by Amravinu to Ephron to purchase the Ma'oras Machpelah, Asher Shokal of the father Amravinu, Bimachpel, Chevron, Ma'oras Machpelah. Then the Python goes further. Cheker means to analyze, discern, focus on. Shikle Yevusi. Who's Yevusi? Aravna, Hayivusi, Shikli Yivusi, Mashbise Choroin, Yu Hashem, who is Shavas from anger. Now, what do we mean, the coins of Yivusi? David Hamelech paid Aravna Hayivusi a lot of money, I think a few million dollars, to purchase the place of the Beis Hamigdash. Eretz, let's talk about America. America was stolen from the Indians, right? We know that. It was conquered from the Indians. There's only one part of America that was purchased fair and square. Manhattan Island. And that's what they say, that's why the whole economy, Manhattan, where there are no lights. Lower East Side, where it's dark. Manhattan is the only place. What?
Manifest destiny, everything else.
Manifest destiny?
Everything else.
Everything, okay, but it was purchased. It was fair and square. Manhattan was purchased for peanuts. But let's talk about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was given the first Rashi in Chumash, right? The first Rashi in Chumash, it says Hashem created the world. Hashem gave it to who He wants. Hashem took it away from who He wants. Hashem gave it to the seven Canaanite nations. He took it away from them, gave it to us. We conquered Eretz Yisrael. Hashem gave us permission. Hashem told us to conquer. But there were two little sections of Eretz Yisrael that were purchased. No blood was shed, no risk of life. Two little sections that were purchased. And the whole Eretz Yisrael, the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, and the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the field of Aravna HaYevusi, where David HaMelech, together with Nasan HaNavi, determined is the place, the Mokoim, Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shakein Shmosham, the future location of the Beis HaMikdash. It was Apiruach. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah where the Mikdash should be built. It doesn't say anywhere. All it says is, HaMokoim Asher Yidrish Hashem, it was Apiruach, Nasan HaNavi, this is the place of Aravna HaYevusi. These are the only two pieces of land in the entire Eretz Yisrael that have been purchased, and no one has went to war to risk their life to conquer it from the Canaanim, from the nations, the Pelishtim, the Canaanim, all of the people who occupy the land at that point in time. What's the significance of this?
So you're saying that something to do with March is... What was that day for? When that's when he
wrote
the land?
I'm not talking about these two pieces of land. So Rabbi Wolfson develops this idea in great length. And someone, in fact, has taken this, the whole thing he writes only in a few paragraphs, someone, in fact, has taken these few paragraphs and made a whole book out of it. But the idea, he goes further and he bases it upon another Zohar. The Zohar explained, says, why is the Maris HaMachpelah called Machpelah? It's doubled. So Rashi tells us, because it's doubled in Zugos. A Zug is a pair. It's doubled in pairs. There are four couples. There are two. We have double pairs, which means four total of four couples: Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. Another reason why it's called Machpelah: it's a cave within a cave. Either it's one on top of the other, or it's one within the other. It's doubled. The Zohar says, you know why it's called doubled? Not because it's doubled in Zugos. Not because it's a cave within a cave. It has a twin. As a twin sister, a twin land. Who's the twin? Yerushalayim. There are two cities, two pieces of land in Eretz Yisrael which are twins, which are related to one to another. Yerushalayim and Hebron. Hebron and Yerushalayim, or more specifically, the Maris Machpelah and the Mekom HaMikdash. Twin cities, Hebron and Yerushalayim. What is the nature of the twin cities? Let's give two holidays as an example to illustrate the difference between the two cities. The holiday of Pesach and the holiday of Purim. The holiday of Pesach represents Nisim Gluim. Wherever you blink, another miracle. Tanakos, Kriyas Yam Suf, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, Makas Bechoros. What are we eat matzah? Matzah Zusha Noichon Shema Ashum Shlo Hispek Es Pitzekim Hachmetz Ad Shehigli Aleihem Melech Malchem Lachem. Hashem Himself revealed Himself. Now we have no concept what that means. Hashem reveals Himself. The Gilui Shechina. Hashem, we were baking the bread, and Hashem reveals Himself. We have to go now. Let's leave. That's why we eat matzah. The whole story of Pesach is Nisim Gluyim L'mal Mederech Hateva, something that we really have no understanding of. Miracles, open miracles. What is the miracle of Purim all about? Nisim Nistarim, hidden miracles. This happened, that happened, a sequence of events. This whole storm that happened, you should know, is an incredible Hashgach Pratis. Only reason why it was so devastating was because there was a nor'easter, and it was the middle of the month, and there was there were three major things. The chance of three, there were three major events that happened that which brought about this Hurricane Sandy. Normally, these things happen not so often, but there are hurricanes. Category 1 hurricane is not such a, is not the end of the world. And there are nor'easters, not the end of the world. And then there are times of the month. There is the first day of the month, the end of the month. There's the 15th day of the month when the tide is the highest. All three to come together. All three to come together. And then also there's this pressure from another storm. And there was a fourth event. It's a combination, a very rare combination of events, which each one alone happens all the time, but all four to merge is incredible Hashgacha Pratis. That's what the miracle promo is all about. This happened, that happened, right time, right place, all these miracles. And there were so many things that happened, it was so obvious to the average person. This is Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the Yad Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. Nisim Nistarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there in the Teva. It's very different than the miracle of Pesach. Miracle of Pesach is Kriyas Yam Suf, miracles. L'malam derech HaTeva. Purim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world within the framework of Teva. Very different. That is the difference between Chevron and Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the place of the Hashras HaShchim. It's the place of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is there. The Shechina, Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash HaKam, which we don't understand at all, the Shechina is resting there. There are miracles that are happening in the Beis HaMikdash every single day. We bring Korbanos. Everyone is living there. It's not possible for a population of Klal Yisrael to live in such a small location. Miracles, miracles, miracles. That's really what Yerushalayim is all about. A lifestyle that is Lamala Miderech HaTev. Even at Hayom HaZeh, you are Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, what goes on here, Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the bigger picture of things, Lamala Miderech HaTev. What is Chevron? Chevron represents the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there, no matter what. Even in the darkest of times, as the time of Purim, V'yanochi Haster Aster Panai. Hashem is always there. Hester Panim. Hester Panim, the Avos are buried there. They're buried there, their bones are there, that's there, their Mokoyim of Menucha. It represents the idea the Shechin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there even during times of Hester Par. Now, I'll just give you one example to illustrate this point in the most beautiful way. Rabbi Wolfson explains this. It's an incredible insight. What is Tisha B'Av? What is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av was the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim is Charaf. Now, let me ask you a question. You go to Eretz Yisrael, where do you go first? And you get off the plane, settle down in the hotel. First place you go is to the Kaisel. We have the Meraglim. 12 Meraglim going to spy. They come to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now, there are Eretz Yisrael already. There was the Har HaMoriah, the place of the Akedah. This is the place where all the Avos were Mispalo. And they're going to spy the whole land, and all of a sudden it says their kolev slips out. It says in the pasuk, where does he go? At Chevron. He goes to Chevron. And Rash, why did he go to Chevron? Because he saw what's going on. He saw the Meraglim, they already decided to issue a slanderous report. It's bad news. Yoshua is protected because Moshe was mispalim half of Yoshua. He has the chus of Moshe protecting him. Kalev says, I'm in a lot of trouble. I don't want to be part of the Meraglim, but they're going to kill me if I don't follow along with them. And I don't have the chus of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, so I'm in a lot of trouble. I need to go be mispalim. I need to go to the Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, there were no Gedolim then living in Eretz Yisrael. So where do you go? So where would you go? You would go. No, where would you go? If you go to Eretz Yisrael, where do you get? Where's the first stop? Where's the Kaisel? What's the last stop? Oh, we're going to the airport. Before we go there, let's go to Chevron. Let's stop off one more time at Chevron. Before we get on the plane, we're not going to come back for at least another year. So let's go. No, we'll go to the Kaisel one more time. You go to the Kaisel.
Yeah.
Right, that's where you go.
Right.
That's the place where Avram the Akedah took place. That's the place where Adam was makriv his carbon. That's the place where Adam was created from. That's the place where Avraham and Yitzhak were mispalo. All the different places we have in Tanakh. Avraham, Basel, he stopped over. Everyone was mispalo there. That's the place to go. Where's Kalev going? Kaisel, forget about it. I'm not interested. I'm going to Hebron. I'm going where the action is. To Hebron. What's going on? Why is he going to Hebron? What's going on? So Wilson says an incredible, incredible insight. Over here, the Meraglim are taught, why is Kalev God needing Mimson? Because he sees the Meraglim are already planning to report back evil. And what will be the result of the evil report? What's going to be the result? You're going to cry, Abachia Shalchinam. I'm going to make for you a Tisha B'Av. You'll have what to cry about. You want to come back and say that Eretz Yisrael, they came back on the night of Tisha. When did the Meraglim come back? They came back on the 8th, and they told the report on the 9th, and the whole entire Yisrael cried, and it was Nigzar and Bo Bayom on the 9th day of Av. It will be a Bechil Doros, because you're crying for nothing now, it'll be a Bechil Doros. Kalev saw right then and there what's going to happen, and it's all over. If it's all over, what's going to be destroyed? The Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. Yerushalayim, from right now, he realizes it's Choraf. There is no Yerushalayim. It's destroyed. So where do you go when there's no Yerushalayim? You go to the place that has the permanent connection where you can never take away HaKadosh Baruch Hu from. Yerushalayim is only B'Shleimuso when the Shechin is resting. But when the Shechin is not resting, there's no. It's nothing really special. I mean, it's special because the Shechin wants to rest there, will rest there. When you go to the place where it's like the Luzbon, where the Kedusha is permanent, it's always there. Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is always there. V'anochi, Haster, Aster, Panai. Hashem is always there in the Mokum Hester. So he went to Chevron to be Mispal. Now that I see the Migdash is going to be Chorav, Yerushalayim is Chav, the Shechin is going to be, it's bottle. The place to go is to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mokum of Hester, Panai. The place to go is to Chevron, V'anochi, Haster, Aster, Panai. So we have twin cities. Machpelah, they're twin cities. Chevron versus Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Gil. But that's only when the Shechina is there. It's a high and a low. When the Shechina is there, it's beautiful. When the Shechina is not there, there's nothing there. Chevron, there's no glitter. There's no smoke and mirrors in Chevron. But it's the kavius of Kedusha. Kedusha is always there. The Ribbono Shel Olam is always there no matter what. You may not see him, you may not sense it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. V'yanochi haster aster ponai. It represents the concept that Hashem, and therefore, it's that's where Kalev went when Yerushalayim was Chorav. These are the twins of Machpelah, they're twin cities. Okay, now what do I want now? Yes, what in the world does this have to do with our parasha? The answer is, Because in this parsha, both of these places were revealed to Avraham Avinu. Now the Akedah, we know, end of parsha Svayer, what more do you want? Hashem says, Lech lecha, take your son Yitzchak, el hamlokoim, asher, el har hamariah. And vayoyim hashlish vayisa Avraham es eino vayar es hamokoim merachoik. He saw the place of the Akedah. And he did the Akedah. And when the Akedah was over, what did he say? Avraham said, Vayikra Avraham Shem Hamakoyim Ahu Hashem Yireh. Asher Ye Omer Hayoim Bahar Hashem Yireh. Rashi Hashem Yireh. Pshuta Kitargumo. Hashem Yivchar May Hashem choose the Yireh Loi Es Hamakoyim Hazel Lahashro Espo Shchinos. May Hashem choose this location to rest His Shchina. Ulhakri Bo Karbonos. Asher Yireh Hayom Shayom Uli Yimei Hadoi Resulah Bahar Bizhar Zeh. On this mountain, Yireh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'amo, Hashem appears to His people. Avraham saw it, he went there, he experienced it, and he said, this is the place where Hashem will rest His Shechina. That's the end of the parasha, the very end, Shvi. Let's go to the beginning of the parasha. First of all, the parasha. What does it say in the Medrash? It's famous Medrash. Rashi doesn't call this Medrash. Rashi, I think, says in the next. Rashi says in the next parasha, I believe. He sees three men. Vayomar, please come stay. Yugach no matmayim. Vayomahir Avram. Ho'oyolah he gets Sarah. V'el habokor. Rots Avraham. Avraham runs to get three tongues with mustard. Two he got right away. There was one, says in the Medrash, there was one animal that didn't want to be caught. They gave him a hard time. Avraham started chasing. And in the process of chasing the animal, the Shkocha Pratis, the animal went here, there, into a tunnel, and Avraham Avinu discovered the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. He discovers, says in the Medrash, and therefore next his parasha after Sarah died, right after the Akedah, Mamish, right after the Akedah, it's totally Zebezeh. So there's a whole, everything is connected. This was the revelation. The Malach is telling, guess what, you can have a child. And then the child is born, and then he's willing to sacrifice the child. And Sarah, when she hears about the child, so the child, she dies. And now he has to bury her. Where does he bury her? He buries her in the place when he was being machnes orich for the person who told him, you're going to have a child. He discovered the burial place for Sarah. He discovers the Maris Machpelah, and the Meres, he saw Adam and Chavu buried there. He began to understand, he Avraham lived in Chevron. He picked up the Kedusha of what it's all about, of what Chevron is all about, this permanent connection, Kivri Avos, why the Avos are buried there, the Avos represent the Baris Avos, even though Tam was Zuchus Avos, but the permanent connection we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Avos, he realized the Kedusha of the Ma'aris Machpelah. Unbelievable. So in this one parasha, Parasha Svayera, it is revealed to Avraham the twin cities are revealed. Chevron and Yerushalayim. Chevron by the Maris by Vayaretz by Machan Sarich, and the Akedah is revealed to him. Har Hashem Yiraya Yerushalayim, and both places were purchased fair and square. There was no war. It was acquired. Now, what more do we want to add to this? Look at how they were discovered. Everything is b'hashkacha. You would, if you would ask the average person, you would not tell them that you would not know the story. You would say that the way they were discovered should be just the opposite. Avraham over here in the beginning of the parasha, what was he doing? He was machnes orich. This is his life. I'm a host. I have a hotel. Come, enjoy, eat food, drink, sleep over. I'll escort you. Nothing special. Nothing special. No miracles. I'm not going to give up my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to live a life. I'm going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with life. So you would think, if this is where you set up shop, to live, this is where your legacy will be to live. Your children will live here, and they'll develop a yeshiva on your hotel, right? You give it over, it goes to the family. This is your hotel, so your children will take over the hotel, and Klal Yisrael will set up shop around Chevron. Yerushalayim, I was willing to give up my life for this. I took my child. I was willing to sacrifice him. So you would think, so Taka, when Yitzhak Taka dies, that's where he should be buried. I was willing to sacrifice him on this piece of land. I was willing to give up my whole life, my whole legacy. You would expect that Har HaMoriah should be the place of burial, of death, because Avraham was willing to worship his son Har HaMoriah, and the place of life, of where Klal Yisrael lives and thrives and develops, would be Hebron, because that's where Avraham Avinu was Machnes Arich, that's where his hotel was. Hotel Eshel was in Hebron, not in Yerushalayim. But it's just the opposite. Why is it just the opposite? Because it fits perfectly in line with the theme of Rabbi Wolfson. What is Hebron? Hebron is, this is your essence. This is what Klal Yisrael, there's Hebron represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is permanently attached to Klal Yisrael. Even in the darkest of times, V'anochi Haster Aster Panai, the Ovos are buried here. There's Bris Ovos. The Bris Ovos Loitamu, Zuchus Ovos may have come to an end, but the connection we have to Bris Ovos is permanently there. When you live, this is something which is sustainable. This is your way of life. This is Avraham Avinu. It was part of his blood to serve Hashem. This was something which was sustained, which is constant. That's why this is Chevron. Chevron represents the constant in the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael. Yerushalayim is a high. Not every day do you give up your life for Hashem. You're not even allowed to give up your life. You only give up your life under extremely rare circumstances. Yerushalayim represents a high. A high is not something which is sustainable. It's not something which is constant. It's something which is occasional. That's why Yerushalayim is a high. He gave up, he was willing to sacrifice. Yitzchak, how often do you sacrifice your child? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a high. Memela, Yerushalayim is a place that gets a high. But the high is not forever. Only when we're deserving is there a high. Bizman Shabbos, Hamikdash HaYakayim, the Shechina rests on Yerushalayim, we bring Korbanos, we do everything. And Bizman that we're not deserving, no, the high is gone, it's Charaf, and there's nothing there. But the constant is life. To live a life of Torah ve'avoda, it's part of your life. You machnes orich, you do mitzvos, Torah mitzvos, things that are constant in your life. That this was the hotel of Avraham Avinu, Eshel, Achila, Shesia, Levia. That's why Hebron came to represent the part of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, which is constant. Because in life, you have to have, there are two parts of life. There are the constants, and then there are the highs. The constant is really what counts. The highs are good, but those are not sustainable. Hebron is the constant. Yerushalayim is the high. Hebron is the place, Bedafka, where Avraham Avinu was Machnes Orech. Yerushalayim was the place where we experienced the high. That's why today, Ad Hayom Hazeh, Hebron represents our constant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It represents the idea that we have to live a life, not to die and to go and bear, to live a life of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas Yerushalayim represents that at times require that we do exceptional things and we go to a high. But it's something to keep in mind. We have here one parasha. We have the twin cities, Parsha Vayera, the beginning and the end. The parasha sandwiched these two ideas, Machpelah, the two places that were purchased with money, and the two ideas that they represent, the constant and the high. Have a wonderful Shabbos.